is ESPN Mid-Missouri, 107.3 FM. KLPW-FM, Steelville, Rolla, ESPN 107.3. Now, ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I am your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Truck and Catering Company in Sullivan. As usual in the studio is my co-host and producer, Colin Fisher, and we are also joined this morning by Matt Glenn. You can join me every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Midmo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. And if you got a comment or something, you can just have us call or call us at 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And this first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane in the Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. You can now pre-order your propane for winter by giving them a call, and working with Peterson Oil is a blast. Our guest today, Matt, has known this guy. I guess I can let him introduce him because he knows them a lot better. So.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I do know him. I know him more from Facebook than I do anything. In the past week, I've gotten a chance to finally get to conversations with him. But they're kind of near and dear to my heart because they're Ugly Drum guys. And they actually started their own Ugly Drum Facebook page, and they're from Texas. And joining us today on our show is we've got Stephen Powell from Texas, and we also have Rob Bailey. Rob Bailey is the head judge of the Texas Region IBCA. And guys, we welcome you. Thank you for being on our show here today. We're excited to get a chance to talk to how you guys got started into barbecue and talk a little bit more about these Ugly Drum smokers that my host here is still fighting tooth and nail to get.
We'll convince him here shortly. That's a guarantee.
Well, we'll start with you, Stephen. You know, maybe give us a little bit of a background about you and, you know, what got you into barbecue. And then we'll talk a little bit more about your Ugly Drums that you guys build, because you've kind of changed the theory. They're really not called Ugly Drums anymore. They're quite elaborate cookers that I've seen and you share on your Facebook page. But let's talk a little bit more about what got you into the barbecue world.
Well, anybody from Texas, I mean, barbecue is a staple. I mean, it's on the dinner table once a week at a minimum, and it's on every street corner. So you grow up barbecue, and I think in the late 80s, I started getting into barbecue cooking competition. One tournament, I think a buddy of mine that's here, we're building a drum for now, we won 4 years in a row in a major competition. So we stopped back then, and that started back up just a couple years ago after I found the Ugly Drum, and what a joy to cook on. I'm telling you what, just the best thing you can cook on in competition, period.
Now, what did you cook on before you got into the Ugly Drum?
A stick burner, and I got one in my backyard that's brand new that I waited 10 months on a waiting list to have built by a company here in Houston, and I used it about six times. I found the Ugly Drum. It's set back there with mold on the inside now because I hadn't used it in 2 years. I'm going to put it on Craigslist for half price. Come get it.
Was your wife planting flowers in it yet?
Well, I just hope that when I die, she doesn't try to sell my smokers for what I told her I paid for.
Are you saying somebody's going to get a good deal?
No, don't you think they won't?
So what got you into building the Ugly Drums? I mean, let's talk a little bit. Were you at a cooking competition? You saw people cooking with the Ugly Drums?
That's correct. Up here in Montgomery County, it's one of the largest cook-offs in the state. And
Montgomery County Fair.
And a guy won one of the competitions with the drum, and it was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I thought, no way. So I did a little research, and I built my first one the following week, and I had some friends over, and we had barbecue, and they saw how that thing just held temp by itself. You don't have to stoke that fire, and the way the quality of the food come out, the moisture and the bark, and all three of my buddies that were there ordered the kit that day. And the next week, all four of us built their pits, and it hadn't stopped since. Their buddies wanted one, and then Rob takes off and goes, builds him one. He went to competitions using part of that as part of his cook, and some people call me from his competition, and they've walked up to the table on their cooks, and then three people from that have been calling me. So lately, I've been not only building for competitors, and I got one down here now staying with me for the weekend, building one. He's a competitor.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the cooking there, you know, with a stick burner, you can put your flavor in by the type of wood you burn. How do you do that with these ugly drums? I mean, do you buy little wood chips, or what do you do? Do you cook?
No, initially, that's how I saw other people loading their drums, and that's another reason I started my group. Too many other groups are showing wrong ways to do things, and nobody's going there and saying, hey, this is wrong, without a big fight battle. And so I want to give solid information. And the best way is, just like Frank Cox showed me, the manufacturer, is to put these a stick of wood in there like a fuse.
Okay.
That way you get a long, steady burn instead of a chunk lighting every once in a while. And it seems to be working fine for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Steady smoke the whole cook. Today I'm running hickory on that brisket I've had cooking all night long.
Well, mainly your woods down there are like oak and post oak, aren't they? And mesquite?
Oak, post oak, mesquite. Yeah, that's the three mains in here in the Texas area.
Yeah, my buddy that's down here building this pit, he brought me that hickory. He said, we're cooking on hickory because I know you don't get it down here.
No, there you go.
So now let's ask Rob a little bit. You know, Rob, you know, you're the head judge of the Texas region of the IBCA. What got you into cooking, and how long have you been cooking? What got you in, and then what got you to the ugly drum?
I'm one of the head judges. There's lots of head judges throughout Texas for IBCA. But I started cooking about 8 years ago. My wife and I started doing it as a hobby where we lived in Navasota at a county fair, of all things. That seems to be where a lot of people start, unless it's in their backyard. But local county fair, we started cooking. We got with some friends, and it's just about the good times and the camaraderie you have with your friends and family. We started doing it a little bit more. We got into the competition world, and of course, the competition world's not cheap to get into sometimes. I started out on a reverse flow smoker that seemed like it burned a half a cord of wood every time I used it. And I graduated from that to a stick burner with Pitmaker. They're here in Houston. Manufactured. They built the one that I still have it, matter of fact. And then a couple years with that, and then I started actually getting into the drums and started watching those. And again, just like Steven said, seeing the simplicity of it. I mean, you load it, you get your fire set, you adjust your intakes, and it's hard to mess up from there. I mean, because it'll burn for 12 plus hours easy.
So are you a hot and fast guy then, or are you a low and slow guy?
It depends on where I'm cooking. Competition, I'm going to run hot and fast because I'm getting a little bit older and I like to have some sleep. So at the house, I'm kind of like, I'll run like Steven is right now. He's running that brisket out back and out low and slow. It's been running all night. So, you know, it's personal preference, I think. But for competition, yeah, I'm going to run hot and fast. So,
well, one thing I was kind of wondering, you know, I was sitting here listening to you guys and that, you know, like my stick burner is insulated. So, yep. I mean, you know, yeah, in the wintertime, I've been in some competitions where I've actually had to drape a sleeping bag over it to keep the heat in. With the ugly drum, have you got that problem? I mean, do you have to wrap it or anything with a blanket or anything to keep it warm, or is it just constant like that?
It'll stay constant. I mean, I'm sure that we don't get the cold temperatures that down here that y'all do in Missouri, obviously, and I've never cooked north of Oklahoma, I can't say. So I can't really speak for how the cold temperatures are going to affect it. But overall down here, it's such a compact heat source, and where your meat's right on top of your fire. So
right.
I've cooked the Uvalde cook-off that we do in December over in Southwest Texas. It was, I think, about 28 degrees competition morning that over there, and I didn't have any problems at all with it. So.
Yeah, we have a lot of members. I mean, we got 56 countries, but members of Ugly Drum Smokers Texas. But a lot of the members up there right around your area, Jason LaFon and a few others, they talk about it. When it's 0 degrees,
right?
That once, if your temp is running there, your fire basket's going to hold your temp,
right?
Whatever you said, that's going to hold in there. If it's cold, there's going to open that intake a little bit more and let it run a little hotter inside. It's going to catch up. They're holding the temp.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had it here where you know, I've cooked in 5 degrees, and
yep.
Mine all steel, you know, stick burner. It it'll take a little while to get that temp up, and sometimes it's not that easy to hold either. You're constantly right. chucking wood in there. So
And you're going to consume a lot more wood, and it's the same with the drum. I mean, instead of a 12-hour burn, if you need a 12-hour burn, you may get an 8-hour burn or a 10-hour burn before you got to reload or something. So
yeah, and that new UDSParts.com basket, that round basket, I'm getting 24 hours and 30 hours at 225.
So let me ask you a question, Stephen. What got you into the UDS parts? I'm a big UDS fan. Trust me. I mean, obviously, I'm very good friends with Frank Cox and with the SmokerBuilder.com and But what I mean, obviously, if you tried other people's parts and if you have, what are your comparisons between them and the UDS parts?
Sure, I started out with which I think most people back then went out because it's the cheapest kit on the market was the Big Papa's kits. I think I built my first 8 to 10 drums with Big Papa's kits.
Yep,
and they work fine. I mean, you know, intake exhaust, it's all you need. It's just a look you want for, but you know, it's just kind of flimsy parts. He's got his name stamped on everything from the bottle opener, the intakes, the exhaust, everything's got his name on it. So it's like NASCAR. You know, you don't feel like it's your pit. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, "Oh, you got a Big Papa's pit." No, that's my pit. Well, no, it says Big Papa's all over. So I kind of moved on when I started seeing UDSParts.com kits and our parts. I started ordering them, and their kits were just so high because their parts are so – they're the best parts you can buy. They're solid steel, American-made, and they cost a little more. And the whole thing about Ugly Drum Smoker, a lot of people can go down to Home Depot and buy you some ball valves and some small stuff, some magnets, and have yourself a cheap drum. And that's the whole concept. That's what most of the people get involved in. I can build something cheap. Well, their parts are a little more expensive because they're quality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started using their parts, and I recognized the quality on them and the looks, and it's just 100% better. It's day and night difference.
Well, and I've enjoyed watching your videos because you'll compare parts, and I can't. And maybe I'm wrong on this one. I'm not sure. I watched the video where they were comparing the new baskets that they have, and I believe somebody, and it was somebody from Texas, and it might have been yours, Stephen. And correct me if I'm wrong or not, but you took an old basket of what somebody was recommending to use, which was like a pail. And just drilling out holes, and you brought it out into the middle of the field, and you said, "This is what we use these for down in Texas," and shot it with a shotgun. Was that you?
That was me.
I thought that was one of the greatest. Go ahead.
You know, it was. And I'm gonna tell you why. That's a great concept. It really is. My the whole thing about the point I was making is if you go buy a pail at $15 at Home Depot, you know, you burn it out. You got to burn the whole thing out. You got to get it down to bare metal. Then you got to drill your holes on it. It's thin metal. The thing bends up on you. The bits walk on you. If you get the holes wrong, the guy, the inventor of it, or the guy that thought of the concept, will chew you up on Facebook. Anyway, but by the time you buy the bit, the hole saw, and everything else, you're $30-$35 bucks in. Plus your gas driving down to Home Depot and getting all the parts, plus chance of tearing your fingers off. You can buy that $40 basket that I'm talking about, UDSParts.com. And have the whole thing. It's a quality basket. It's the best thing on the market. And seriously, I get almost 30 hours out of it at $225. So why would you buy a cheap bucket?
Hey, Stephen, I'm going to
find out in about a year when you get quality steel for $40.
Stephen, I'm going to hold you on that for a quick second. We got to take a break, okay? So we're going to take a quick little commercial break. Coming up here in segment two, we're going to keep on with Rob Bailey and Stephen Powell out of Texas. We're going to talk a little bit more, find out a little bit more information on them and a little bit more about IBCA as well. So we're going to take a quick little break. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Matt Glenn. That's Lyle Kwas. We'll be right back.
This is the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I will take a free breakfast buffet anytime, anyplace.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. Huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, anytime. And my name's Lyle Quast, and I am here with Matt Glenn, Colin Fisher, and on the phones, we have Rob Bailey and Stephen Powell. And Stephen is a builder of Ugly Drum Smokers, and he's trying to convince me, but I just wanted to let him know, you know, I do have CDs now instead of 8-tracks.
Now, before we went to break, we talked a little bit about quality of parts. You know, we were comparing. Some people, like I said, they want to go as cheap as possible, and you know, cheap is fine with certain things. You know, cheap will get the job done. You know, that's
for a while.
For a while, at least. But we talk about the quality of parts, and you mentioned UDS parts, and like I said, I'm a big UDS guy, and one of the things I wanted to ask you is I follow you on Facebook, and anybody that wants to follow, you know, Steven, you can go to they've got Ugly Drum Texas, correct?
Ugly Drum Smoker Texas.
Okay, yep. Ugly Drum Smoker Texas, and you can follow Steven and a group of us that are all cook with Ugly Drums. If you got any questions, I tell you, it's a great place because everybody's there to help you out. They'll all let you know what you need to do. But one thing I noticed, you like to do videos showing parts that you buy, and I noticed that you just did a video on the new part that UDS just came out with, and that is a wheel, and it's a pinwheel. The one that I have is adjustable. Now, the one that you guys are showing is one that actually has cutout grooves in it, and it was kind of neat. You were mentioning you can bend those grooves to get it to whatever temperature so you can hold a temperature that you want.
Well, that was initial concept by the manufacturer, Frank over Smoker Builder Manufacturing. But he told me when I got this heat shield, he said that they initially had it at a different gauge where you could bend the tabs. But this, they had to go with the thicker steel because that wasn't holding up.
Okay.
So this is a thicker gauge. It's going to last forever. It's still going to do the job, but the tabs on this one are not bendable. He is going to put slits in it. In the future, you'll be able to bend the tabs. But if you work this on top of your drum, this is going to – the biggest problem with the drum is opening your lid to access your food. If you leave it open too long, you're igniting all your coals down there. So if you leave it open over a minute or so, you close that lid later, you're going to have about a 50-degree jump or 80-degree jump in temperature when you shut that lid.
Yep. Well, and I've
noticed this is going to, when you're opening your lid, you keep this down in there. It's going to keep the air from sucking back through there, and it's going to keep your temperature down. It's also going to regulate it, and from what I see the curves in it, it should create a vortex.
Okay.
It should get that air moving and circulating throughout the drum instead of just straight forced air.
So now, is that the only wheel that you've used, or have you tried the other UDS wheels?
No, I've tried that other pinwheel, that other one that they have, and I thought it worked great. But the reason I like this one, and the reason I was excited about it, is how lightweight it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy-duty gauge, but it's easy to handle, easy to pull in and out, and with those grooves in it, the way they got those marks cut in it to get that air moving, there's just nothing else like it.
So,
and this one actually... This one actually fits the whole entire circumference of the barrel. It doesn't just fit right over the box for your firebox,
okay,
or your fire basket.
Now, when used in conjunction with their heat shield, which is like a little $40 heat shield that goes around your basket at the bottom,
mm-hmm,
it's supposed to seal it tight. It'll be perfect. It'll be perfect cook for you.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I just got done watching a video last night. And I don't know if you've heard of Gateway Drums. They're located here in Washington, Missouri. And his name is Tim. I cannot remember his last name. We met him. He actually was on our show a few months ago. And he did a little video on cleaning your drum, on what to do and when you should clean it. And I guess I'm curious, what's your guys' thought process on how do you clean your drum and how often do you clean yours?
Well, I thought I saw that video.
I actually shared that video last night.
Okay.
And me as a competition cook, mine gets a good wipe down after every cook. You know, and I agree with what he said last night as far as he cleans his after every event. But if you're just using it in the backyard world or for cooking at the house, and I've got a drum that sits on my back porch that I cook on pretty regularly, and about every four or five cooks, I'll clean it out real good.
Now, what do you guys use?
I'm not spraying any chemicals in there to clean it out.
Okay,
I'm not going to do anything with some of that stuff I've seen guys doing. I'm just, like you said, every few cooks, I'll lay it up on a moving blanket up on a table, lay it up on the side that way I can reach in there easily and just scrape it out, wipe it out. But you want to keep it nice.
Yeah, well, a lot of people they'll clean it with a chemical. They'll turn around and reseason it too. So now the oil dry that he puts in the bottom of his, I've never seen that before last night. So that was new for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a little leery about spraying any chemicals into my drum as well. I mean, I've scraped mine out before. I mean, I'll just kind of scrape it out. I kind of just call it, half it. I don't really. I'm afraid if I scrub it too much, I'm taking some of the seasoning away.
Exactly, and that's you and I are on the same page with that one.
Yeah, the biggest, hardest thing to clean is the bottom, if you even call it hard. But that's why I like putting it in that access door. Now, most people won't put it in an access door because they say you don't have to worry about your charcoal basket. You don't have it's going to stay cooking 20 hours or so. So you don't have to add wood or fuel. Mm-hmm. But it does give you the door. Well, it gives you a few things. It gives you a chance to access your lower shelf if you put in a lower shelf. But you can just easily reach in there and wipe out the bottom. You cook 3 or 4 pork butts. You got a lot of fat dripping down. You're going to have a little mess down there. So with the door, you just easily reach in there and wipe it all out.
Yep.
So let me ask you a question. I know that with the UDS parts, you can get, you know, 2 different kits. And I know Steven did a video on comparing the two different styles of kits that you can buy. And what are your thoughts on using the round inlets that are like 1.5 inches or vice versa to the sliding door? Which one do you prefer and why?
Well, actually, they have 3 or 4 kits, but they got 3 different inlets. And I'll tell you the one I prefer and why is the new one is that sliding inlet. It's a single inlet. You put in 2 1.5-inch holes. I run 3 inches intake, 2 inches exhaust. So I put 2 1.5-inch holes in there, but it's only 1 slide intake. Now, the other one, like you were mentioning, the hard steel, they're separate dual intakes. If I had to pick between those two, I'd take the dual intake. And the reason I say that is because you're accessing fire air to two separate points on your fire basket. If you only have that one intake, your fire is going to run from the front to the back.
Okay.
So here you're going to get air from 2 different sides. It's going to run what I feel a more even burn. And but the third intake they have is the risers. It's the more expensive kit. It's the better parts. The risers that run up the side of the drum that you can access. You don't have to bend over to adjust. It's great for old people. But if the air is coming in them open-faced intakes, it's going to stoke your fire. With these risers running straight up, then if the air really gets, it runs 50, 60 mile an hour winds, it's just going to suck the air out of them tubes. It's not going to stoke your fire. It's going to drop your fire, which you'd rather have than burning your food up.
Exactly, yeah.
So because of the long tubes, by the time the air gets down from the top to the fire, they're long round tubes. You've got a little vortex going on out of the air on its own.
So that's, yeah, the long tubes is my preference. Kind of like what the Gateways have on theirs. Gateway makes a heck of a product.
But look at the cost of these drums. That the people, when you can build your own, that's what's great about those kits, that UDSparts.com kits you're talking about. They just come out with a new $85 kit. Now, when you talked earlier about drums that I started with a Big Papa's kit. Why? Because it was $139.
Mm-hmm.
UDSparts.com kit was $199 at the time. That's the long tubes. Well, they kind of started coming out with more parts. They've got competitive down to $139 kit, and the first kit ever under $100, $85. Now, that kit and a drum, you can be up and running for about $150.
You can't beat that.
And cooking just as well as a $1,000 drum.
Mm-hmm.
So the basics, the science about the whole thing is the same on the inside. It's just the only reason the others are more expensive is how do you want to foo-foo them up? tailgaters, you want to make it sports theme. That's what's great about them. You can design it. You can personalize it. You can make it a sports theme, something for your company, your personal cooking team. What do you want to do to them? Metal art. But the big thing about these baskets and is that the judges are even recognizing is that you don't have to run a water pan in. The fats drip down into the fire, creating their own moisture, creating their own steam. They're flavoring themselves. The beef tastes more beefy. It just really puts more impact on it. And they're just like the chickens. They just stay moist. They're tenderizing themselves, basically.
Well, and you know what you guys were talking earlier that in your competitions you cook whole chickens. You know, you've got to figure it's going to be a different time to cook the dark meat compared to the white meat, and you don't want your white meat, you know, sectioning off like it does if it's overcooked and all stuff. So you got a lot to worry about when it comes to stuff like that.
Right.
And so
obviously it does cook. We're required to turn in whole chickens. Two entire halves, so we do have to split it, but it's 2 entire halves. So.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm listening to you guys talking right now. Me being a stick burner, everything you're saying is like, You might well be speaking Greek to me, but, you know, I'm listening and learning. So
it's with the barrels, it's the simplicity of it. I know we talked before the show, but you get some more time to do other things. You get more time to sleep if you're a little bit older, you know, and you get more time to hang out with your friends and family. So.
All right.
Yeah, and a stick burner, you're out there every 20 minutes. 20, 30 minutes, you got out there and stoke that fire. Check that fire. Add a log.
Yeah.
Adjust.
I guess I'm lucky. Mine's a little longer than that, but it's not much. So, all right, guys.
Yeah, if you got an insulated firebox, you can probably go 45 minutes before you're checking your time. But, I mean, like I said, to me, it's just the simplicity of it. I think that's what's making the UDS so popular. No matter if you're buying a Gateway or if you're making your own or whatever you're doing, at whatever barrel. Or there's a guy in St. Louis, as a matter of fact, who's building a square drum. It's rectangles. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty much the same concept. There's a lot of them out there now. But I think the way that what's made Stevens' models is so popular is, like you said, people are getting to build their own. They can say, no, this is my drum, you know. They're putting a Navy SEAL emblem on it. They're putting a U.S. Navy anchor on it. They're putting the Army emblem on it. You can do metal art with it. So it just makes it more personal.
Right. All right, well,
and
guys.
It's easy to transport.
We're going to have to take another quick break here. And coming up in segment three, we'll hear more from Stephen and Rob. And then we're also going to hear what's going on in the barbecue societies around us. So make sure you keep your dial right here on ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free America.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, my co-host, Matt Glenn, my producer, Colin Fisher. And right now we're going to go on and discuss what's going on in the barbecue side in our area. And this is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And let's see, this weekend we've got racing for the barbecues at Lee Summit, Missouri. That's a KCBS. Then we got one at Laura Hillbilly Barbecue in Laurie, Missouri. That's KCBS. Taste of the Ozarks Backyard Only in Warsaw, Missouri, and that's KCBS. And that's a good one to get started on, people. You know, it's just a couple of categories to cook. And also KCBS, we have the Red, White, and Blue that is coming up at Lucas Oil Speedway in Wheatland. And all three of those last ones that I mentioned are August 3rd and 4th. And so that's something you can keep going. We also got, let's see.
Going on this weekend as well is the 8th annual Smoke and Barbecue Dinner, and that is a fundraiser for Timber South Fire Station. That's going on today from 12 o'clock to 5:30. All proceeds go to help support the Timber Creek Fire Department. So if you're out and about here today and you're looking for some barbecue, that is today on the 28th. That is going on from 12 to 5:30, and that's their 8th annual Smoke and Barbecue Dinner in Timber South Fire Station, located just outside of Salem. And so if you're looking for something, make sure you stop in there. Once again, we've got a special guest with us online. It is Rob Bailey and Stephen Powell, both out of Texas near the Houston area. And we've had a great opportunity to visit with them, talk a little bit about what they cook with, why they prefer what parts they do. But we're going to dive in a little bit more and talk about IBCA. Now, a lot of us up here in this Missouri area know a lot about KCBS, but IBCA is the barbecue branch that's down in Texas. And once again, Rob Bailey's one of the head judges for that region. But, Rob, if you can share with us a little bit what makes IBCA a little bit different than KCBS?
A couple different things. We don't decorate our boxes. I'm putting out a meat product. I'm not knocking KCBS. I'm not downing them or anything else, but I'm not about trying to make a lettuce or a or a parsley decoration in a box. So our turn-in time for our events are an hour and a half windows. You know, our three basic meats are brisket, ribs, and chicken. Pork butt is an optional category for the promoter. So if they wanted to run a four-meat event, they can. And we're starting to see some of the promoters actually run a four-meat event. So, you know, lots of differences. We cook a whole chicken versus just the thighs or legs that KCBS does. So, and it's, like I said, IBCA is just, it's a good all-around organization. To get involved in, it's, you know, you can be a backyard cook, you can be an every weekend cook. We've got members that may do three or four events a year, and we've got members that do 40-45 events a year or more. So
what kind of events do you have coming up?
Some of the big ones we've got coming up is the IBCA Added Money event, which will be in Kingsville, Texas this year, which is getting down towards South Texas area. There's going to be quite a bit of payout on that. And then another big one that comes around in December that's pretty popular is the Uvalde cook-off in Uvalde, Texas, at the county fairgrounds there. So we did that one last year, and there'll be over 100 teams at that one. They're pretty regularly over 100. So
that was your first cook on your drum?
Yeah, it was. Matter of fact, that was last year was the first cook on my drum for Uvalde.
So for both of you guys, what's the best finish that you guys have had?
Overall, I mean, I've taken a grand championship,
really?
Some reserve grand champions. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's any weekend, it could be anybody's weekend. If
exactly.
you're on, you know, the scoring system's a little bit different with IBCA versus KCBS. I know IBCA is working on a new scoring system, and that'll be hopefully rolling out here before too long. But we run a multi-round scoring. It's not just six people deciding your finish in an event of 50-plus teams. So
walk us through one of your judges. When you say it's a point system, explain a little bit more and go into detail for that for us.
Well, it just depends on the number of teams. Like I said, we may run a preliminary table, a semifinal table, and a final table, depending on how many teams. We try to, you know, each table is going to have a certain number of boxes to try, and then we'll narrow it down. We'll take the top scores off of that table. So we score, IBCA scores it right now, the score system is 1 to 10,
okay.
10 being the best, 1 being the worst. So, and then we take those scores and add them up, and whichever entries on that table, they may move to the final table or they may not. So.
Oh, okay. Well, one thing I was wondering, does that IBCA, does that do like whole hog cooks or the competition, or is it strictly just your brisket, ribs, and chicken?
Now, we don't do a whole hog. We do brisket, ribs, and chicken, and like I said, pork is becoming an optional. It's an optional category. Any promoter that wants to add that category in can make it a four-meat cook-off, which would be similar to what KCBS does.
Okay.
I know KCBS is required to do all four meats. IBCA is we're mandatory with three, and the fourth is optional. So.
Okay. Well, down there in your competitions, like up here with KCBS, you know, we sauce our meat before we turn it in. What about down there? Is it just like basic plain meat, or is it been sauced, or how do you do that?
No, there's glazes that come into play in Texas too. So whether it's chicken ribs, there's even some of the guys in glazes putting a little bit of finishing glaze on their brisket now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because like I said, you never know with each region where you're going to. I kind of like the idea that you don't have the salad in there, you know, because I got big fingers and I have a heck of a time making them boxes look good. You know,
I'll be honest with you. And I want to do a KCBS one day, KCBS event one day, and I will. But if I have to do that, I will let my wife build the box because she's got the OCD to make it look neat. I don't.
Obviously.
Well, and by decorating your box, you're able to maybe have some judges on the inside who can recognize your decoration.
Ooh, I never thought about that.
Well, that's true.
That is interesting.
I never thought about that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know somebody used to decorate theirs with oranges. Orange slices cut a certain way, and that's how they could they said, yeah.
Well, that's on an open category. But yeah. I think, and now correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but KCBS dictates just regular parsley or lettuce, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. You can't have anything else in there. Strictly meat.
Yep. So, yeah, that's one of the big differences with IBCA versus KCBS. It's ours is you got a piece of four, you lay down in the bottom of the styrofoam box, and you place your meat in the box, and it goes. So
your meat does the talking.
Well, see, they'd recognize my boxes when as bad as I do. Maybe that'd give me an inside pull.
Let me ask you this, and what's one of your biggest disaster cooks? And kind of maybe tell us what happened and what you did wrong.
Honestly, for me, when I first started out, my biggest disaster was partying a little bit too much on Friday night. And not watching what I was doing on Saturday morning or being hungover.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
You learn real quick, if you're going to do that, then, you know, you're more of a weekend cook versus a competition cook. Because nowadays, it's almost too expensive to be able to go do that if you want to try to win some money back.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you, just last week, or about 2 weeks ago, I cooked on a drum. You cook the brisket fat side down, and to keep it as a shield against that heat coming up. And I wasn't thinking about it. I got these new gloves in, these big rubber gloves for heat proof, and I thought, well, I'll just reach in and grab that brisket when it's done. Well, when I did, that fat's down there, and what fat was left when I grabbed that brisket, no. All that fat dropped right down that fire, and that flame come up, and I think my eyebrows are just now growing back.
Ooh.
And I bet you that fat was a little bit warm on your fingers, too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Oh.
Even through them gloves, it was warm.
But now he's got the fire dial, so he won't have the flare-ups now.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Now, what's one of your guys', as you guys cook in competitions, what's a misconception that's out there that you hear about a lot when people talk about cooking that you just maybe drives you nuts? You're like, no, that's not true.
Oh, man, there's a lot of them out there, to be honest with you. I don't know that I could really pick out one, guys.
Give us a couple.
Water pan on a drum. There's no water pan needed on a drum like you do with a stick burner.
Mm-hmm. And explain to people, why do you put a water pan in a stick burner? I've got different people that have always told me different stories. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
For me, it's out of my stick burner. I place a water pan right above where the heat and the smoke are coming out. And it's placing some moisture in the chamber of the pit for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, keeping it's raising the humidity a little bit and keeping some moisture in there. Kind of like your water pan cookers, like your Meyer and Mixon smokers. They actually have a water pan on top of the fire box, on top of the fire source. So they're, you know, and they're more of a steaming. So.
Okay. Now Frank will tell me from Smoker Builder, he says that those are there just to help kind of regulate the heat, to keep the heat at a constant temperature, because you're using.
They will do that.
Yeah. And that's what he swears by.
It's also adding moisture to your cooking chamber too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it will block the heat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And that's why, you know, everybody has their opinions on whether you need a water pan in a barrel or whether you don't. I know Steven's opinion is you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know some guys that do, and the main thing is they want to keep a constant set temp, which, I mean, that's their way of doing it, so that's to his is their own, I guess. But
okay.
I don't personally use a water pan in my barrel either, so.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to get right here to take another break, but we do a recipe of the week, and I know I'd ask Steven before the show if he wanted to share a recipe with us. And Steven, is that something you're going to want to do?
We can do that.
Perfect. And we're going to keep Steven and Rob here, so make sure you guys stay tuned. They're going to share a Texas recipe for us as we have to take another quick little break, so make sure you don't go anywhere, because once again, we'll have our recipe of the week. You're listening to Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. He's Lyle Quast. I'm Matt Glenn. We'll be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show. Expert advice on becoming the best barbecue cook or fabricator you know on ESPN 107.3.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan. You should have respected my authority.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm your host, Lyle Quast. And this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And now it's time for our recipe of the week, and it's brought to you by Timber Charcoal. making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years, and it's available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And I went real basic this week for mine.
Letting Steven them guys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I'll still post mine, but I'd rather hear about Steven's because I looked at the picture and it looks good. So,
yeah. We got over here, what we do every time we cook a brisket is if I have a large group of them, we'll do a brisket Frito pie. And you can find the recipe actually on his website here when they post it here shortly. But it's just a little everything. We get a big pie up pan, a couple bags of Fritos, throw it in there, and you chop up your brisket and about some barbecue sauce. Throw you in just a mixture of cheese, tomatoes, jalapenos, onions. And I tell you, drizzle it with some sour cream on top, some chives. Presentation alone, it's mouthwatering.
Well, yeah.
It's definitely something we do. I like to serve the point on the plate and take the flat and chop it up for a brisket Frito pie.
Well, there
That's
you go.
That's a really good tailgating, dish.
What?
It'll feed a bunch of folks.
I know. I seen that picture that you guys, you know, sent to us, and Colin and I, our producer, we were talking about the other day how many different types of pies you can make, you know, in the barbecue world, and that one looks really good, and it's got brisket, so you know, can't go wrong there.
You can never go wrong with brisket. And I tell you what originally made me want to do it is because I had a brisket that was too tough. You know, everybody tries to hide it in different ways. Well, I said, well, let's just chop it all up and make it into a Frito pie.
Right.
And then I actually found a recipe for it online, this big, nice, big Tex Frito pie. And I've kind of adjusted a little bit, but it just works perfect. Just beautiful thing.
Well, you know, my saying is, you know, you got to eat beef because 10,000 coyotes can't be wrong.
But that would, you know, and that would be good with pulled pork and everything else too. So,
right. Well, now you know you got your Frito pie here. Do y'all ever just get together and just have one of these all out where you just cook what you want as a group and just have a buffet with all your families and all that and see which comes out the newest recipe?
Every Saturday during college football season.
Ah, there you go.
I never thought about that.
No, I'm just kidding with you. Yeah, we do. We get together, and again, it's just all about the barbecue family. So whether you're from Texas, whether you're from Missouri, or wherever you're from, you can talk barbecue with anybody.
Well, let me ask you one. We've got about 5 minutes left here in the show. So let me ask you, preferably both of you guys, what rubs do you guys like to use? And if you use sauce, what sauce do you guys like to use? So go ahead, Steven.
Well, I'm stuck lately on Fat Boy. Fat Boy rubs and sauces include their sauce, but their cowgirl rub. The cowgirl rub is just, I think you got number five on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, it's just the best stuff. It's all the local Kroger shelves here the last month, and I just picked up every one they had, every flavor they had, and it's just the best stuff. I've always been a salt and pepper guy on the brisket, just like every other Texan.
Mm-hmm.
But I put some of this Fat Boy seasoning on the last brisket I did. And it really made a difference. I had some people that eat my food regularly really said something about it. So the one I got it going on back there right now, I put a lot of seasoning on that bad boy.
Okay.
Fat boy.
Now, have you ever, some people up here will actually put mustard on theirs first before they'll put any salt or pepper on. Have you guys ever tried that?
Well, Rob's over here shaking his head like he's about to vomit.
It's all about a binding agent. That's what they're using it for.
Yep.
I use a little bit of olive oil. It's basically, it's serving the same purpose. But, yeah, I never have been a fan of the mustard thing. So.
No.
Okay, so, Rob, what kind of rubs do you like to use, or do you create your own? And do you use sauce? And if you do, what sauce do you like to use?
I do create some of my own rubs. One of my base rubs and my go-to rubs right now, and like I said, the rub world, it changes several times throughout the year, what's hitting and what's not hitting. But so you got to adjust with it. But one of my go-to rubs right now is Pork Pachanga products. They've got a couple different rubs out, and that's one of my go-tos besides my base rubs that I make myself.
Okay. And what about sauce?
And again, there's several different sauces out there. Daigle's is one of my favorite. They're out of Louisiana.
Okay.
And as a base, and then I'll add some things here and there. Texas pepper jelly, rib candy products is a good thing to add with it. I kind of mix in some flavors, but and Cosmos. I mean, I've used Cosmos dairy and stuff out of Oklahoma. So,
well, with you being in Texas and everything, have you ever heard of the Yummy Tummy barbecue sauce.
Yummy Tummy, I have.
It's out of Amarillo. Now, I'll tell you what, he sent us some, and that stuff is really good. I like it. It's got the kick, the one that's the spicy one. It's got a great kick on the end, and I mean, I really like that. And like I said, I'm not a sauce person, but I will use that.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of that, you can go online to yummytummybbq.com, and if you use the code MIDMO, you get 10% off your order.
Damn, I'll have to look at that one.
There you go,
I'm
pal.
Pick me up a bottle today.
So before we get ready to wrap things up, Stephen, would you like to let our listeners know how they can follow you on Facebook, and if they've got any questions about Ugly Drums, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure, yeah. I have a YouTube channel, Ugly Drum Smokers Texas. They can check out all my builds. But on Facebook, we have a group, Ugly Drum Smokers Texas, and it's basically the reason we formed it is to help others get solid advice on how to build their own. To help others build their own. Even if a lot of people have a trouble in their area finding a drum, we'll help you find a drum if we can.
Okay.
We'll do everything we can, day or night. You need help. You're building a drum. You're in the middle. You don't know where you need to drill something or what part to order. We're going to help you. We're going to give you solid advice. And you know you're going to get good advice.
We got about a minute and a half. I want to hear about the nicest drum you've built.
Well, I think I used to say it was mine, but I got one right now. I'm looking at it. It's a Texas Longhorn. It's like my sixth Texas Longhorn, and why not? I mean, it's one of the best college teams out there. And
giggle.
Giggle. But I, the detail on this, I've got the Longhorns, just painted Longhorns just everywhere on the caster mount, on the toolbar, everywhere around it. It's just so much detail. You'll see the video on it when I post it shortly. When I finish it, it's just amazing. Just simply amazing.
Okay, sweet. Well,
this Cowboys drum looks good, too, and it needs to go to Missouri. So.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but have you ever heard of Boomer Sooners?
I've done a Boomer Sooner. You look at my YouTube.
All right. I may have to look into that.
Across the street at my neighbor's.
Well, there's a couple good LSU Tiger drums on there, too. So
my street's lined up with all kinds of drums.
Well, that Navy one you just got done building, that one was pretty – that was an amazing one.
I loved that one. That was just – it was probably the most elegant one I've done.
All right, guys. Well, hey, I want to thank you for calling in. And it's time that we wrap things up here. And the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. The show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. I'd like to thank our guests today, Stephen Powell and Rob Bailey, for being on the show. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com, click programming, and the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, smoke you later.